The game, aren't you? Oh, he's ready. Will you stand, please? Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. We are still in our series on James. We have two more messages I would like to do from chapter 5 next week and the following week, and then we're going into our missions emphasis. And I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed studying this, and I hope you've enjoyed hearing it. And if you need a copy, if you've missed some weeks, you can sign up for free copies of the CDs. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And here's what James says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, to him it is sin. Our kind, loving Father, we need your power this morning. We need your power to hear with our ears and, Lord, to hear with our heart what your will is for our lives. Father, we pray for the anointing of God to flow in this place and that, Lord, we would leave here in the power and the strength of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're going to accomplish in these next few moments as we step into your will and divine plan for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, turn around and don't say this. Don't say, I'm glad you're a doulos. Say, I am proud to be a doulos. And if you don't know what that means, well, I'm proud to be a doulos, buddy. Bless you. How are you guys doing? I'm proud to be a doulos. If you don't know what a doulos means, somebody tell me, what is a doulos? It's what? A bond servant or a bond slave. That's what James is saying in the very first verse of our Bible. Anyway, today I want to talk to you how a bondservant finds the will of God. James has hit some really tough spots, some really difficult issues, and this is probably one of the major areas that most of us struggle in, is trying to find what God's will is for our life. One day there was a doctor who called out his patient into his office, and he wanted to give him news. And of course he said, I received the results of your test today. I have both good news and bad news. And he says, what do you want to hear first? He says, I want to hear the good news first. He says, okay, then brace yourself, and here it goes. Doc, what is it? And the doctor said, you have 24 hours to live. He said, if that's the good news, I hate to see what the bad news is. He said, what's the bad news? And the doctor said, I forgot to tell you. I was supposed to tell you yesterday. Now, very few of us live as if there's no tomorrow. Most of us live as if there will be many tomorrows. Like the popular music song from Annie, right? I thought a little Annie when I thought of this. The sun will come out tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I love you tomorrow. You're only a day away. We've all heard that. And don't get me wrong, but let me tell you, in some respects, living as if there will the many tomorrows is a good thing. If you look forward to tomorrow, if there's hope in tomorrow, and hope that you all have hope in tomorrow. But if we look forward to tomorrow with that hope and that right perspective, that is what God wants us to do. But the problem is that many of us do not look at tomorrow in that way. So here at the end of chapter 4, James addresses the arrogance that we sometimes display in our lives of how we look at today, how we look at tomorrow, how we perceive those things. And after having reminded us that we can't be a judge of one another, and our pride, and we talked about that last week, how to be humble before the Lord, James applies the same spirit to our future plan. If we're not judging others, if we're not full of pride, if we're doing that which God wants us to do in examining our heart, then we should have the right perspective of our future. And it should be a positive one and a good one. Now look at verse 13, if you would. The verse 13 gives us kind of look at this as a parental authority thing that a parent's given to their child, maybe. It says this: now listen, you who say today or tomorrow you will go into this or that city, which some translation use the word city, and you spend a year there, carry on your business, and you make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? So, the truth of the matter is, none of us are in control of our future, nor do we know what will happen in our future. None of us can understand that. It amazes me how much effort and time we spend trying to predict our future. We have predictions like the political elections. Who's going to win the presidency? We have predictions of the weather, 5 days forecast, 10-day forecast. You can go out a long way and get pretty much the weather. We have the NFL that predicts the Super Bowl. It's not going to be your team. They're predicting the San Francisco 49ers, but I got news for them.
It's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's not who's going to be there. I made my own prediction, and there's going to be a surprise team, and you can guess what it is. At the end of the year. I didn't say it. I'm not telling you. But you see, James is telling us, look, we all have this desire to predict the future. Solomon tried to do that by going to, like a horoscope person. People read their horoscopes. By the way, if you're a Christian, you should not go by your horoscope. It means nothing, really. And so in this passage, James is going to declare the order to find the perfect will of God for our future. If we are a doulos, then we need the perspective that a doulos has to address. The second thing I want to talk to you about is a personal sins that we need to avoid. And finally, the plan of action that we need to advance. Number one. The perspective that a bondservant addresses. We look at the very first one is a bondservant will not predict the future. He will not predict the future. The fact that we cannot predict the future does not negate the need for planning. As a matter of fact, planning is one of the most important biblical truths we can understand. Particularly if you go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah has a wonderful plan that you lay out and learn what it means to be able to work out in your ministry what God wants to do. Planning is very important, and there's nothing wrong with making plans. Being a good steward of your life necessitates the making of plans. If you're going to be a steward of your time, if you're going to be a steward of your life, God wants us to plan. And Jesus advocated planning. He told the person who was getting ready to build the building, he says, you need to count the cost before you build it. Understand, can you afford to do this? Can you afford to build it? You count the costs. And so James is here not against planning, obviously. He is warning us to be sure to keep God in our plans. Here's what he says. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and do that. Verse 15. If it is the Lord's will. James asks a very important question. I think that question would be something like this. What's your life? What is your life? What is it? Well, I think the answer would be, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Here's a picture of a teapot. You know, you hear the whistling of a teapot and you see the steam coming out. Have you noticed that the steam might only come out about, you know, maybe a foot or so, and then it loses its vapor? Now, it doesn't fill the whole room with smoke, and it just dissipates very, very quickly. And so you kind of have that picture where it comes as a vapor and it leaves and disappears. The vapor appears for a few seconds and vanishes. Or it could be something like having a fog. You know, this morning when I was coming up out from the river area, the fog was horrible, you know, coming out the road. And when I got up the S-curve and coming up out of it, the fog left. It's only laying in one spot, one area. In Psalms 90, verse 10, the psalmist says, the length of your days is 70 years or 80 if you have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we, what? Fly away. Psalms 90, verse 12 teaches to remember our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The average lifespan is only about 70 years old. We have many people living up into their 80s and 90s and even to 100 and plus that. But the fact is that our life is but a vapor. Even 100 years on this earth is a mere vapor compared to eternity. I want you to be reminded, this last week was an anniversary of the 11th year after 9/11. And I want you to watch this video.
From rescue to recovery to rebuilding, these 8 sacred acres in downtown Manhattan have become the National September 11th Memorial, a place of remembrance for those lost on 9/11 in New York, at the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania, as well as in the World Trade Center bombing of 1993. This is John Stewart. Join us to reunite and remember. This official book tells the emotional story the memorial's creation and lists the names of every victim and where to find them on the memorial itself. We encourage you to experience the memorial.
Many of you can remember that day, where you were, what you were doing. And at that moment when you were witnessing those planes going into the towers, you were saying with the first plane, oh, he must have been off course. Maybe there were other reasons, but when the second plane hit, then you started to realize something's going on here that's not normal. And that day, almost 3,000 lives were completely taken and ushered out of this life. And Thousands and thousands of families were changed forever. Our culture was changed as a result. Our life is so much like a vapor that we don't know that the morning we get up, when we go to the office, whether we're going to be there for the rest of the day or not. Because if you want to know the will of God for your life, it is at this moment, right now, where you are in the will of God. But you don't even have a guarantee that when you leave here, that you'll make it home safely. Every person was going about their business doing what they normally do every day, not even giving a thought that life could be snatched out in a moment, in a blink of an eye. You remember when John F. Kennedy Jr. was a handsome young man, really, a handsome guy, talented, 38 years old, flying a plane, and he's flying actually upside down and getting ready to go to a wedding, and the whole wedding is turned upside down because John Jr., his wife, and his sister-in-law never made it. What about the young man in our own community who just lost his life? I'm sure that when he woke up that day, he wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to be going into eternity today. I just want to simply remind us all that life is but a vapor, and it may vanish very quickly. Secondly, the bondservant perceives life as an eternal investment. If you'll look at verse 14, we find the nature of the human life here, because the point is this. We forget and ignore our nature, who we are, how limited we really are, how uncertain our life is, and sometimes we forget the reality is that we are not God. That we actually need to be sure that we can't foresee everything that's going to happen. Since life is so short, you cannot afford to just spend your lives wasting it away, which is so easy to do. We have to invest it in things that have eternal value. And so the world tells us to spend time making money, having great success, but God reveals in his word and through his word the principles, the precepts, the promises that guide our everyday life. And James, I believe, is making that very clear. It is by God's nature that we find the will for our lives. It's God's nature, not my nature. The will of God is not something that we accept or reject. It is a reality. The will of God is not an option. It's an obligation. We don't just, well, we'll try to find, maybe if we need to. No, it is an obligation as a Christian to find the will of God for our life. And so, God is the Creator. He's the Savior. Is he not the Creator, the Lord of our life? Then we have to obey his commands. And so we owe him our allegiance. He is the only one that understands the perfect will of the Heavenly Father. He is the only one that knows exactly what you need and what I need in every moment of every single day. So if our perspective of life is not focused on the eternal, our disobedience to God's will is going to bring misery, absolute misery. I don't want to mean to be negative, but I am being quite honest with you. I can't tell you how many times I have felt that misery when I knew I was not in the will of God. How many times have you felt that, have sensed that, when you knew that you were not doing what God wanted you to do and how you felt so overwhelmed with conviction and just pain and misery in your life? It's so important. We are serving a purpose, and we're preparing our purpose for eternity. For eternity. Tomorrow, Charles Dickinson would finish his novel, So laying down his pen, he turned his attention to something else, never completed his novel. I wonder how it would have been completed. We have people like Francis Schubert, who would finish his symphony, never able to finish the symphony because the angel of death came and he was gone. How would it have ended? Well, for those people, maybe it doesn't really matter to a lot of us because maybe we don't care for symphonies. Maybe we're not really that interested in reading a novel. But the fact is our life going to be cut short? Are we going to be able to have the complete, perfect will of God? And I believe there is the perfect will of God. I believe we can be in the perfect will of God, although we're not perfect. You cannot predict the future, but we can prepare for it. And we need to prepare for it. Now, we may not be able to finish what we started, but we can prepare for eternity. So it is imperative that we understand that life is but a vapor and that everything we do must be for eternity. There is a purpose in your life that will last forever. Secondly, the personal sins that a bondservant needs to avoid. What are those sins we need to avoid? Now, James tells us that there are three sins, at least that's what I see here. The first one, I think, is the bondservant avoids the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption is kind of like you're arrogant. Remember last week when we talked about pride, that proud spirit can actually help make us presume things that really are not there. And, presumption may carry itself with a swagger. You know, I'm confident. You know, it could be like the rich man in Luke chapter 12 where he just thinks he has it all together and his money's going to buy him whatever he wants, and he finds out that his money's not going to do anything for him. Our presumption. We assume things that we really need to be careful of. We must not act like we are the ones who determine our future. I can't presume that I have my future in control. You know, we have to learn to humbly acknowledge that all that we are and all that we might be is always in the hands of God. We prove God's will as we experience growth. We prove the will of God. Now, the Greek verb there actually means to prove by experience. So when you think about that for just a moment, you learn the will of God by working at it, working with it. In other words, it's a continuation. It isn't something that you just find one day, but as you're growing in the power of God, as you're growing in His wisdom, the Holy Spirit leads you and directs you as you continue to work and walk in His way. So the fact is that we cannot passively sit by and say, well, God, you're going to just take care of it. God, here I am. I'm going to pray and you're going to take care of it. Now, what's the phrase? Those of you that have been here for a while, you know this phrase. You're always the answer to every prayer that you pray. You see, we don't just pray and passively sit by. And I believe Darren brought this up this morning. We can't just sit here and wait for something to happen. We have to aggressively begin to work out the will of God. The things that we already know as we're growing, as the things we already know are His will, His promises are made to us. He gives us His precepts. He tells us what we need to do. And so we just are obedient to that. So we just cannot presume God's will in our life, because if we do, we are actually in sin. You cannot do anything on your own without God's assistance. I can't be anything without the assistance of God. It's impossible. That's what leads us into the second one. And I believe a bondservant needs to avoid the sin of boasting. The Greek word used here has its roots in the characteristic of a wandering quack. Now, what do you say, quack? Well, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the old, like a doctor who, or somebody who acts like a doctor, who's really a quack, and who really doesn't have, you know, the ability to heal and help people. That's exactly what James is talking about here. He made somebody who makes promises to you and boast about those things, and they're unable to do them. People who make promises to you that they cannot keep, they're a quack. They're crazy. They cannot give you what they say they're going to give you. So this sin of boasting is based on the invalid assumption that we are able to control our own destiny. I, John, will control my destiny. I don't need God. I don't need you. I don't need anyone else. I'll make the promises, whether I can keep them or not. It doesn't really matter. It's about me boasting. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know the day what it's going to bring forth." How many times have we heard the boasting of young, ambitious individuals? Oh, man, I'm gonna go out there, and I'm going to be a somebody. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 40 years old. Or you see those info commercials that tell you how to become rich and, you know, 10 easy lessons or whatever. I mean, I am going to build the biggest church on the face of this earth. And James says this, "As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is what? It's evil. It's evil." Wow. So the word boasting means an empty boaster. That is a person who boasts about something he thinks he has, but he doesn't really have it. He lives and he plans and he thinks and he tries to control his life. His life is one big boast of self-sufficiency. And when we think that we're sufficient within ourselves, we're really fooling ourselves. Two Texans were trying to impress each other with their size of their ranches. And the one rancher said, "What's the name of your ranch?" And he replied these words, "The rocking R, the ABC, the flying W circle, the C bar, the U staple, the four box D, rolling M, rainbows, and Silver Spur Ranch." Wow, that's quite a title. "Well, how many cattle do you have?" "Well, not very many. They die when we brand them. That's a pretty big brand, right? So how many times do we like to brag and boast about things? You know, this isn't just exclusive to lay people in the church. This is pastors and teachers and people get, you know, we have a tendency to measure ourselves with somebody else, and we're going to do better than this person. We're going to be able to do this while this person can't do it. And so maybe, you know, do what we talked about the other week where, you know, we can just look down on them because they're not like us. And, you know, those things happen all the time. And James is really addressing this whole idea that we have nothing to boast about because our trust is in Christ, not in us. And to find the will of God has nothing to do with how wonderful I am or how wonderful I think I might be. It's all on God's love and his power in our life. Now, the third one is that a bondservant avoids the sin of omission. Look at verse 17. "Anyone then who knows to be good ought to do it and does not do it. To know better and to not do it," boy, this is a tough one. "To know better and not do it is to sin." That's exactly what James is saying. Probably the most subtle thing that happens in our life is that we know what it is to sin when we do things that God says we shouldn't do. That's easy enough. We can understand what thou shalt not. Don't do this. This is what we're supposed to do instead. But when you sin against something that you are just completely ignoring as being the will of God, in other words, you omit it. Omission. James has been urging us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And so every minute that God gives us to live is a gift from God. And it's a gift that has to be used in his service for other people because we're a doulos. We're a bondservant. We serve people. We have the privilege to serve God as his ambassadors. But you see, the problem is when we are told to be his disciples, and then we decide that we're not going to truly be his disciple, then what we end up doing is we end up omitting a truth that God has commanded us to do. Now, I'll get to that a little bit later at the end of the message, but this is a striking definition of sin. Because to know what you should do something and to refuse to do it is a sin. I'm repeating that on purpose because it is so many times in my own life I find myself not doing what I know is to be the right thing, but just simply omitting it because I just don't want to do it. Out of fear, frustration, whatever it might be. So James intended it to refer to the immediate preceding context. And here's what I mean by saying that. It's like saying, now that I've pointed out this whole matter, you are under obligation. This isn't something I'm telling you because I think you need to understand. This is something I'm telling you that you're obligated both to stay from sin and also to keep yourself pure and holy to the Word of God, no matter what it is, whether it's omitting sin or the sins of commission. Either one. We tend to limit sins to specific acts of doing wrong. But James tells us it's sin not doing what is right. The sin of omission. Here's another one that I really, in fact, I have a message on this and someday I might preach it. It's procrastination. I think the enemy uses perfectionism and procrastination to keep us from doing the will of God. I really believe that. Procrastination is a subtle, subtle trap. We think we're going to get around by doing something, and we never do it. We don't finish it. We say, tomorrow. There are more days ahead. But you know that if God says do it, you better do it. And there's a lot of people that have this idea of procrastinating because we want to put off something that we really do not enjoy doing. We all do it. It's a sin to lie. It can also be a sin to know the truth and not tell it. It's a sin to speak evil of someone. It's also a sin to avoid that person when you know they need your friendship. It's a sin to disobey God, but it's also a sin to act without seeking his guidance. Wow. So, I come to our last point. The plan of action that a bondservant advances. What does a bondservant advance? Number one, I believe a bondservant trusts God with their life and future. Most of us are too young to remember this, but from my studies, I learned that there was these words at the end of a letter that people would put in their letters, DV. DV, you know how we put like PS or something or sincerely yours or whatever. they put this DV, which means Deo Volenti or something like that. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But you know what it's actually saying? It's saying, if God willing, if God willing. And so you go back to verse 15, he says, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. The Apostle Paul spoke about that in several of his epistles. He actually in Acts chapter 18, Luke talks about it. He says, I will come back if it is the Lord's will. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but I will come to you very soon if it is the Lord's will. If the Lord willing, I will be back. Again, we have 1 Corinthians 16, I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Now, you notice the if. Do you notice that they don't just say, well, I'm going to be with you because God said I'm going to be with you. If the Lord willing. In other words, you're taking every step and every move that you make as being the will of God. I'm not arguing that we should literally add these words to everything we communicate, but I'm saying we need that as an attitude of our heart to say, God, if it's your will. I can have plans to say, okay, John, you're going to golf this week, 18 holes, you're going to go, and I'm going no matter what. No, what if plans change? If the Lord wills, the little things in life, everything in life. And you know that our reality is we must have the mindset that says, if it's the will of God, I will do this or I will do that. Secondly, a bondservant appreciates the moment. The moment. In Thorne Wilder's play, called Our Town, Emily Gibbs, who's a young mother who died giving birth, in this play, it said that she's allowed to go back to one day in her life. And that one day she chose would be her 12th birthday. And she goes back at her 12th birthday, and she seems all excited and ready to see what happened on that particular day. And she begins to see and visualize her parents. She sees her mom and her dad very young, and she sees her mom making dinner, and her dad's kind of getting her present ready for her and doing all those wonderful things. And she noticed, wow, this is way too difficult for me. And she begins to sob. She begins to cry. And she begins to say, this can't be, this can't be, this is, life is too short. This just, I can't believe my parents are so young and life just passes me by. In other words, the message is simply this. You need to enjoy every single moment you live. Because every single moment does not last forever. And every single moment that you live and that you breathe, God has given you that moment for His purpose in your life. We need to appreciate the moment God gives us breath to breathe and appreciate what God is doing in our life every single day. That's so hard to do. It's so hard to give God glory and praise in the middle of suffering and difficulty. But every moment of every day, God's given you life. And it goes much too quickly for us to just ignore what God might be doing for you at that very moment. Very important. And finally, a bondservant does not delay obedience. Does not delay obedience. There's an old fable that tells it about three apprentice demons who were coming to earth to finish their apprenticeship. And they're talking with Satan. They say, Satan, we got a plan. We know how to get people to stay away from God. The first one says, you know what? I'm going to tell them there's no heaven. Satan says, "How? You can't do that. If you tell them that, they're going to read the Bible. They're going to believe that." He talks about heaven all the time in the Bible. And so the second demon comes by and he says, "Oh, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. I'll tell them there's no hell." "Well, how can you do that?" Satan says, because he talks more about hell in the Bible than he does about heaven. So that's not going to work. And the third apprentice demon says, "I know exactly what we could do to keep them from serving God. We'll just tell them there's no hurry. No hurry. Just procrastinate. Take your time. Don't worry about it." Now that's dangerous. The most dangerous disillusion of all is that there is plenty of time. I wasn't going to say this, but I really believe, I know a lot of people don't believe this. We're living in a completely different world. What happens right now in the Middle East is not by happenstance. What's going on in the Middle East right now, I'm telling you, the end times are unfolding. We are in very, very difficult times. And we talked about persecution Wednesday night. I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think America, unless we have revival, we are going to see greater persecution than we have ever seen in our lifetime. And I believe if it's not us that are here this morning, our children and our grandchildren are going to see things going on in life that we would never dream possible. But the fact is, if we would just keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and who he is and what he wants to do in every one of our lives, it doesn't matter how persecuted we are victorious through him. It doesn't matter. Everything in the universe operates on laws. If you cooperate with those laws and obey those laws in the universe, it works for you, doesn't it? But if you disobey those laws, they actually come work against you. For example, laws of flight. Those laws, as long as they're building those planes and understanding the laws of flight, they will succeed. If they do not, it's destruction. But the fact is, God's will is compatible with the laws he has built within the universe. No two lives are planned the same. Do you realize that? That your life is completely different from mine. Everything. Do you realize that God has a plan? Billions, millions, billions of people. You, Lauren, have God's perfect plan designed for you. Isn't that awesome? Yep. That is the most awesome thing. That, you know, you don't have to be a John Wiley. Thank you, right? You don't have to be Ed, right? Although Ed's a great guy. But isn't it great that God has purposed us, tailor-made us, to be like him? A doulos does not delay obeying the master, because a bondservant is consumed with Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of asking if it's God's will for us to be a witness or to evangelize. I love what our missionary said last week. He used Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? Teaching them to be my disciples. And remember, he told us this, and this is absolutely true. He's not lying to you. This word disciple is a continuation. This is not a, well, I come to Christ as my Savior, and then I'm his disciple. No, you become his disciple. A disciple, somebody who grows and develops in the Lord. And it isn't something, well, should I be a disciple? Should I witness? Should I evangelize? Those are already commands. And when we don't do those things, ouch, we sin. We sin. We sin. The kingdom of God is advanced because of our obedience. And when we're not obedient, well, the commands of Scripture are completely out of the will of God. Now, I close with this. A professor some years ago at Harvard University was talking to his kids on Columbus Day. And he said three, which I think are profound things. He said, when Columbus left Spain, he didn't know where he was going. When he arrived in the New World, he didn't know where he was. And when he had returned, he didn't even know where he had been. Now think about that. And he did all that on borrowed money. Wow. Every time we make plans without asking God for guidance, we're asking for trouble. And I want to remind you that every time we attempt to do something without first bathing it in prayer, we are flirting with disaster. Let me just remind all of us, all too often we walk ahead of God instead and letting him follow. Let me just say, if we want the blessings of God, we have to stay in the will of God. Now, I'm not saying that's easy, but if you want the blessings of God, you must be in the will of God. A doulos has only one thing in mind. And I want you to see, this is it, in a nutshell. To please God. To follow his will for life. He gets God's perspective. He avoids the temptation to personally sin. And he advances God's plan for his life. It's as simple as that. But you see, it takes every moment of every day to let God be a partner with you in everything that you do. And he'll bless it. He'll honor it, and he'll use it to bring glory to his Father. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of this wonderful book of James. It gives us so many practical things to think about and reminds us, Lord, that a true doulos, a true bondservant, is a true slave to Jesus Christ. We owe you our life. For you've given up yours for us. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the ability and the desire to do your will, to do your bidding in our lives. Lord, nothing happens through happenstance. It just doesn't just come out of nowhere. But God, everything that we do, We want to do those things that will please you the most and to be in your perfect will. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love and grace and mercy you give us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Will you stand, please? I know we've run out of time, but I just really want to have prayer for you, particularly for you. When I was a young, about 22, 23 years old, I didn't know what to do with my life. I was running away from the ministry. I just felt like I was just completely lost. I had no clue what I wanted to do. I see the kids in school, they become a senior, they don't know what they want to do, where to go, and it's difficult. It's hard to know the will of God sometimes. And sometimes we look at the will of God as everything working together and panning out just right, and that's not always the case. But I remember when that confusion lifted. The moment I said to the Lord, yes, in spite of my fears, in spite of the anxieties I had, when I said yes, it was done. It was done. It was just like, I know what I'm doing. I actually worked another job. I hate it, but I knew I was going to leave there in a couple years because I was going off to school. It didn't bother me in the least because I knew I was in the will of God. But I had to let go of what I wanted. Our kind, loving Father, I pray for these precious people. Lord, they're your children. They love you. And Lord, many times they may wake up in the morning and confused about what's going to happen that day. And Lord, by faith, we walk through the day. But God, I ask in Jesus' name that if there's anyone in this room today that is seeking for your will to be done in their life, and the enemy has them confused, I rebuke the enemy. And in Jesus' name, I pray for freedom, that you would release them. And as they give that burden to you, that concern, that fear, God, I pray for those who perhaps have found the will of God, but that you would help us to stay on course, and that we would look to you every moment of every day, and that, Lord, we would give you our life wholeheartedly, and that, God, we would not look to the right or to the left, but we would look to your word and its promises you've made and the precepts that you've set for us and the laws you've declared. God, may we stand in your will, your perfect will, as we walk the walk and talk the talk. And Lord, that we would do what you've asked us to do by the grace and the power of Almighty God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. God loves you. Make sure tonight we have our classes. It should be a lot of fun.